Father, we worship you and we bless you. We give you praise and we give you honor and we give you glory. We thank you that you and your word are one. We thank you, Lord, that you watch over your word to perform it. Father, we thank you that Jesus is the living word and he lives within us. I thank you that he manifests himself in us and through us. Father, we thank you that as we walk out your word in faith, your word manifests itself. It becomes real. It becomes substance in our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you that the kingdom of heaven is a reality. It's not a figment of our imagination. We thank you, Lord, that it's not pie in the sky, but it is steak on a plate. It's reality. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that we are in, that we can actually live in this time and have the privilege of actually manifesting the kingdom of God and actually living it out. And we worship you. We give you praise, Lord. We bless you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the price that you were willing to pay. And Lord, we are here tonight and we say, here we are, Lord. Use us. In Jesus' name. Amen. We've been discussing getting to know the enemy. We've been discussing binding and loosing in particular the last session or two. And I think that you're getting the picture now. That Satan is defeated. You are the overcomer that has to manifest that overcoming, that has to manifest the life of God and has to walk in that victory. We are people that have to take territory back. We are taker backers. We are territory taker backers. Amen. And so that's what we're supposed to do. The enemy has occupied territory, but he has been doing it illegally. And so we have the right to do it, but we have to walk in the authority of Christ. We have to walk in him. We have to walk in his word. Because if we go in our flesh, then we are walking after the flesh. And when we are walking after the flesh, Satan walks and works in the arena of the flesh. And that's where darkness is. And that's how he gets a hold of you. When we do this, we need to do it in the Spirit. We need to do it under the authority of Christ, the way that he wants us to do it, in the Spirit of the Word and in the Spirit of the Kingdom of God. And remember last time, Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him, and that standard is Christ. And you and I walk with a standard within us. We are the ensigns of the kingdom of God. We are the ones that go out there, and we manifest it. We are the reality of it. In the Spirit, they can see us coming. These people with shining armor, and we look just like Jesus, and they cannot discern the difference. The only way that they can discern the difference is they try and hook you in the flesh, and then they see your reaction. And if there's darkness in your fleshly area, that's how they hook onto you, and then they can see whether you're the real thing or not. And it says, he raises up the standard, and he puts him to flight. The enemy, for he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. John 7:38. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now I've just read that like a flood, the Lord will raise up the standard. Rivers of living water flow out of you. All you have to do is just yield to the Spirit. Let those rivers flow out of you. Rivers of the anointing. Rivers of life. Rivers of the presence of God. Verse 39. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But he has been glorified, and the Spirit has been given. So where does he live? In you. And so that's what we do. We walk. We are like a mighty rushing river that the breath of the Lord drives, as it says in Isaiah 59:19. So you just go with the flow. We always say we go with the flow, but yeah, you've got something to latch it onto. You go with the flow of the Lord. You are that flood that is driven by the breath of the Lord. Demonic strongholds are removed through the principle of displacement. Now remember, we've spoken about light and being filled with Christ and being filled with His light and being filled with His anointing, etc., etc. And we've spoken about the fact that the darkness cannot comprehend the light and so forth. So when you are a light, you are like a light bulb in the Spirit. So you move into an area of darkness, what's going to happen? The darkness will not comprehend. The darkness will leave, isn't it? But you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to be in Christ. You got to walk in the Word. You got to walk in His authority. So when you walk in there, you displace the darkness. But your mind's got to be renewed with the Word of God. You got to know what's going on. And you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. You've got to be able to think on your feet. You've got to be able to hear right there what the Spirit says. So if you need to speak, drive out, cast out, prophesy, flow in the gifts, whatever it is, you need to be able to do that right there. Because it's through the principle of displacement. So let's use an example. You could move into a situation. You could be visiting clients or something. Say you're in business, you're visiting clients. And you walk in and you see the person is depressed, like in the days that I used to do 20 or 30 calls a day. Walk in there, the client is not their normal self. What's going on with you? And you already start to listen in your spirit. No, this is going on. And you walk in there, you manifest the kingdom of God. Then you say, do you believe that God can change the situation for you? I've found very few people that say, no, he can't do it. Normally what happens, well, you know, I've actually backslidden and I've not been serving. They start confessing their sin like that. So, what does that mean? It means I'm walking in the Spirit and the Spirit of God is bringing conviction of sin, righteousness and judgment right there. And you know what you can do? You just say, you are forgiven. Oh, you really think so? Yes, Jesus paid the price. I feel so much better. Okay, let me tell you something. This is what the Word of God says, and that situation will change. I believe that by tomorrow morning, this person, the situation, the financial thing will change. You're being led by the Spirit. You come in like a flood. And you just do the thing. That's manifesting the kingdom of God. You displace the darkness. That's what you do. Ephesians 6 verse 12 and Revelations 12 verse 7 and 8 tell us that satanic strongholds not only occupy space in the heavenlies, but they can be removed from these heavenly spaces. So, let me just get my word book out here. Praise the Lord. Let's start with Ephesians 6:12. I'm going to try and run quite quickly because I don't want to major on the enemy stuff and I'd like to finish this. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood or contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this what?
Present darkness.
So where's the darkness?
Cross.
If there were no people on the earth, where would darkness be? There would be no darkness. Because it's the evil hearts that harbor the darkness. It's not a nice thing to hear, I know. But it's in the evil of men, in the evil hearts of men that the darkness is. If man had to be removed from the earth, would there be sin? Would there be murder? Would there be all these things? No, why? Because it comes from the heart of man. Those things. Greed and lust and all that stuff. That's where it comes from. And sickness and disease and poverty is an outflow of that. Greed will cause what? Poverty, misery, etc., etc. It'll also cause sickness because if I have the means to get you healed, then I'll say, I'll forget you. So, where do they rule the darkness? In the hearts and the minds of men. That's why we need to be Christ-like. That's why John 14:30 needs to be not just a truth, but a reality. Satan has nothing in me. Okay. The rulers of this present darkness against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Where's the heavenly supernatural sphere? Yeah. It surrounds the consciousness of man. It's right here. But you have a choice to let that. You see, a bird can fly over your head, okay, and you have no control over that. But you can prevent the bird from making a nest in your hair. Okay, that's never happened to me. It's happened to me often that they fly over my head and then they drop something. That's happened quite a few times. I was not sure whether the Lord was trying to tell me something through that.
That's good.
Yeah. So anyway. So they occupy space. Because they're entities. They created beings. Demons and Satan and so forth. Revelation 12. Verse 7 and 8. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels going forth to battle with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. But they were defeated. And there was what? No room found for them. So they occupy space. So you can give them space. The leaders of a nation can give Satan space. Through what they legislate, what they declare with their mouths, they give him space, they give him permission. He's a legalist. All he's waiting for is just for permission. That's how it works. And it's for you to decide and look at your own life. Where have you given him permission? And then you deny him that permission. Okay. Occupy space. That's the point. I'm saying that we can destroy the works of the enemy through the principle of displacement. The reason why the warfare that we've seen over the last, well, what I've seen the last 30 years in our country, not a lot of it has worked. There's been prayers and fasting and 40-day fasts and the whole thing. And the enemy has just gone and done stuff anyway. In Pretoria, they've erected a whole lot of monuments and stuff, which I don't believe glorify God. And Christians went there and they bound and they loosed and they broke the curses. And then the people still went and did the stuff. So something's wrong. Something's wrong. If we take authority, then there should be no fruit from the enemy's side. But I think what we have done, I don't think, in fact I know, we have focused on the fruit instead of the root. You see what I'm saying? And you'll get what I'm saying just now. There are demon spirits out there that are manifesting certain fruits in people's lives and in situations and in nations and communities and so forth. And we focus on the fruit. It's like going into a garden that's full of weeds. And then what you do is you take a spade like a lazy gardener and you chop the weeds off just above the ground. And then the owner of the garden goes and says, "Wow, this looks so beautiful and clean." And then you pay the man his money. Guess what? It rains 2 days later and a week later you see, but these weeds are very big. How could they have grown so quickly? It's just because they were chopped off just above the ground. And that's what happens. That's what we've been doing about the enemy. Instead of getting to the root, what is the root? The root is in the heart. What's in the heart? Darkness, iniquities. And that's what you got to deal with. And that's why when we're sitting with you now with the whole iniquity thing, the Lord is exposing things in your heart. And you know, we don't like to admit some of those things. But some of you are starting to really experience release in your personal lives, your marriages, etc., etc., because you're free now. There's no more darkness there. The light is shining. So what's he going to hold on to? How's he going to try and oppress you? It's not a secret anymore. That writing, that handwriting that the Bible talks about that's been nailed to the cross, that thing is now nailed to the cross. There it is. So who's going to say, "Well, you know, you've got that sin"? Yeah, well, it's on the cross. The handwriting is on the cross there. So what are you going to accuse me of now? It's dead. It died in Christ. I died in Christ. In fact, I was inside him when he was on the cross. Gone. Okay? So, this space, this physical body here, my spirit, my soul, my body, This space, I can control what lives in this space by filling it with light. Amen? The scriptures clearly show us that God's manifest presence is always required to dislodge and displace the enemy. Jesus Christ is that standard that God will lift up to drive out demonic strongholds. And you see that every time in scripture, in the gospels. You see it time and time again. Jesus is going about his business. He's walking from one little town to another. And then guess what? He's standing there and he's walking in the presence of a group of people, and all of a sudden somebody falls down there and starts spitting and foaming at the mouth. And who are you, Son of God? Or have you come to judge us before our time? And what does he say? Shut up and come out. Rah! Boom. Kingdom of God, the finger of God. Just release them. Simple. And then he goes on. He never went and hunted them out. He never did that. Not like these deliverance ministries that we've spoken about. Go and hunt these things out. Just as a matter of course, you just manifest the kingdom of God. The bottom line of prophetic intercession, and that's basically what we're busy with. Remember, we're talking about the secrets of prayer. And prayer includes intercession, and intercession includes prayer. It's a conversation with God, but it's intercession, is standing in the gap, is standing on behalf of. And that by its nature, it's prophetic, because if we're praying for a community or we're praying for a person, God can flow through us and reveal things in our hearts and minds through the gifts of the Spirit, right? And those gifts are prophetic. Not pathetic, prophetic. The way some people flow in the gifts, they are not the gifts. They are the gift of criticism and self-righteousness and so on. And those things are pathetic. All intercession is in its essence prophetic. And its purpose is to enable the Spirit of God to form and manifest Christ in individuals, then congregations, then communities, then cities, and then countries. So we declare, we speak. It's the Word of God. We speak it ourselves over our own lives, but we speak it into the lives of people, and we get them to come into agreement. We get the light of God to start shining in them. We displace the darkness in their own hearts by starting to deal with their iniquities and the things that are holding them back. And then we displace those things with the light of the Word of God and the presence of God, the anointing of God. All right? And so the light starts shining brighter. But it has to start with individuals. We've had it the wrong way around. We've had groups of Christians trying to cast things down, but right there at ground level, at grassroots level, there was darkness in the group. Now, I'm not saying God is not gracious that he cannot answer certain prayers, but right now, this dispensation, this season where we are at, it's Christ-likeness. It's about character. And together, we will do this thing. So, when we are in intercession, when we are praying, when we are spending time with God, it's basically for him to be formed in us. It's the individual, and I should actually say the family. Because you're part of a family. If you're single, then you're part of a congregation. But in this group of people here, you are part of our family, and then part of this congregation, and then part of communities. You all come from different communities. And then the city, and then the country. That's how we do this. We've tried to go out there and conquer India and all of that stuff. And I'm not saying God that cannot send you there. But if there's no victory here, how can you bring victory there? If there's no place in intercession here, as Rhys Howells says, if you have not got that place of authority here, how are you going to do it over there? As we allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in us, the principle of displacement comes into action, whereby darkness is displaced by light, the manifested presence of Christ. See? Displacement starts with the individual, the family, the congregation, the community. In my life, I've seen it time and time again. When I was still single, I remember I lived in a block of flats. And the people next door to me, they were making noise and there was always a racket going on and stuff like that. And I just prayed and I just trusted God. And before long, the people would move out and then Christians would move in. I remember the one block of flats, I had never seen the people. Because I was single, I spent a lot of time with the youth in the church and so on. So when I went out, it was early in the morning. I was on the road and then I come back late because I didn't come home straight away. So I never saw the people next door. I just trusted God and then the light just displaced the darkness and Christians moved in. I remember there was one single lady. I think I saw her once when she walked into her door. And in the time that I lived in my flat, and I didn't specifically pray for her salvation, I just realized all of a sudden one day she was playing gospel music and she was praising God. So she had gotten saved. Principle of displacement. It's so easy, in fact. The Spirit does the work. John 5:5 reads as follows. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, has never put it out, or has not absorbed it, has not appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it. So it's got to go. This means that as the intensity of light increases, darkness will decrease in proportion and of its own accord. Simple. In the natural, we switch this light off in this room, darkness. Switch the light on, darkness is gone. You never switch the dark on and then the light leaves. It's just even in the natural works, right? Jesus says that we are the light of the world, and it stands to reason that if we spend much time in the presence of light himself, we will become brighter and more like him. John 12:36 reads as follows. While you have the light, believe in the light, have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with light. He has given us the authority, the power to become what? Sons of God. All right? But here he says, while you have the light, believe in the light, have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with light. That you may become sons of the light. We become sons of the light. You grow into that place. You don't just arrive. We believe that the keys spoken of in Matthew, remember I've given you the keys to bind and loose, have to do with the living word of God. It's who we are. Remember, we bind ourselves to Christ. And the more we bind ourselves to him, the more we are loosed in certain areas. And so when we come into a situation, that release, that loosing in our lives brings a release to others. By this we mean the reality of the indwelling Christ in the life of an individual, a family, a church, a city, and or a nation. Paul prays in Galatians 4:19. Thank you. He prays there that Christ be formed in you. I travail again in birth until. Does until denote a time? A passing of time until Christ be formed in you. This means more than just knowledge of the Word of God. And that's the problem. We go to Bible school, and I'm not saying don't go to Bible school. We go to Bible studies, and I mean the Word is coming out of the people. But is Christ formed in them? Is the reality of the substance, the person of Christ formed? That's the thing. It means that the Word is our life and that we have become Christ-like and we have become a manifestation of Christ in the earth. Because we are his body. If he's the head, then we have to be his body, isn't it? John 14, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them. See, condition. He that has my commandments, I can know the word, but if I don't keep them. And this is not just, you know, don't sin and whatever. He says, walk by faith. The promises are inherited through what? Faith and patience. So exercise your faith and walk patiently and trust God. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. So don't come to me and tell me how wonderful you are loving God, but then you are not doing the commandments. You are not walking in the word. You are not manifesting obedience and willingness to be Christ-like. He that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. See, there's a progression here. And I will love him. When a teenager does something that grieves the hearts of the parent or the parents, do they still have a relationship with those parents? Yes, those parents are still the father and mother of that child. Right? But the fellowship has been broken. So there's relationship, but there's no fellowship. And I believe it has to do with that. We break fellowship with God. We break that intimacy where there's that flow of love and the experiential love of God. That's, I believe, what happens there. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. You see, and so when we start experiencing this dryness in us, we need to look and see, are we missing it? Are we not pressing in? Where are we not walking by faith? Where are we being religious? You know, that kind of stuff. And I will love him, and then I will manifest myself to him. We all want that. Right. Have his commandments and keep them. Then you will have that last peace. See? We first want to have that. You know, when this whole laughter move came and it was wonderful, and we're still experiencing some of that from time to time. But we first wanted that. And I saw a lot of these people, man, no word, nothing. And some of them went completely off the deep end. There was no foundation. No word, no nothing. And a lot of it brought discredit to the, or discredited the move of God. It discredited the kingdom of God. No, I'm so happy, I'm so drunk, I'm so full of the Lord, you know. And then they do the weirdest stuff, you know. You know, some of the stuff that some of these Christians when I was in the world, when I was drunk, I didn't even do that stuff. You know, and then these people, no, God told me. I mean, you can see it's not God. Amen. He who has my commandments keeps them. He is it that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. When he manifests himself to you, then you can start walking into a situation and displace the darkness. That's the point of that verse. John 14:30, you've heard that many times by now. I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. Right. Do John 14:21, and then this will happen to you in John 14:30. He will have no claim on us. We will have nothing in common with him anymore. There is nothing in us, in our hearts, that will belong to him. And he will have no more power over us. That's the power of manipulation and control. 1 John 5:18. Powerful scripture. 1 John 5:18. We know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Now, but the one who, that is in capital, so who's watching over us? Christ. By his Spirit is watching over us. The one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. He carefully watches over you and protects you. He protects you. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against evil. How's that? So here we have a whole succession. Get the commandments. Keep them. Love the Lord. Right? Then you get to a place where Satan has no claim on us. Has nothing in common with us. There's nothing in us that belongs to him. He has no more power over us. Then, I believe, then we start walking in this reality. That Christ, who lives within us, his divine presence within us, protects us, and preserves us against evil. That's where you want to be. That secret place. I believe that Psalm 91 talks about that secret place. You read Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, and then goes through a whole lot of stuff. All of those things cannot touch you. That's the secret place. We are all growing into that place. That's why we're talking about let Christ be formed in you. Because then you can have all three of these verses manifest in your life. I mean, I would like to have the fullness of what these three verses are saying. I mean, how about you? I mean, this is awesome stuff. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against evil. It's not, well, I bind you, I chase you over there, futsak devil, and you know, that stuff. Christ's divine presence within you protects you. You can go anywhere like that. You start looking at it this way, you see how much religion we're actually busy with in the church. I don't see Jesus walking around, you know, kicking the devil in the teeth all the time. He just went about his job. If the devil manifested, he just addressed it and got on with it. And then it says further, and the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him or touch him. How's that? So people mustn't come to me now, well, the devil is doing this. And I say, okay, there's three verses for you to read. Confess them 40,000 times each and then you come back to me. The wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him or touch him. Now that starts sounding to me like displacing darkness. When all of us start moving like that, we just move into an area. We go to the restaurant. And we just sit there and we just manifest the presence of God. We've seen a little bit of that already when we go on our monthly excursions there. People just want to hear what we're talking about, want to be prayed for, that kind of stuff. That's how it should be. Because it's Christ that's doing it. We don't have to sit there and pretend to be something. We just manifest the light. And then this starts happening. Now, that brings quite a bit of a different light to binding the strong man, don't you think? Eh? It's a different way of binding the strong man. You just manifest Christ and walk in there. Guess what the strong man will do? He just becomes weak. In fact, he'll just let go. That's why when Jesus walked in, they would start manifesting. Why? Because they can't stand that presence. They cannot. Then it's easy. Okay, you don't really want to stay, so go. Well, send us to the pigs. Okay, go to the pigs. Why did they go to the pigs? Because in those days, and it's still like that, pigs were unclean. So that's why they could ask Jesus. Okay, because they were pigs were rated as unclean. So demons can have them. To bind the strong man, he must first be identified. So, you walking in a spirit, you starting to walk on all these verses, and Christ is manifesting in you, so you're moving into a situation. To bind the strong man, to bring release there, he must be identified. That's the first thing. You don't just start shouting the odds. That's what we see with Paul. We see that he would move into an area. Remember when that damsel was there with the spirit of divination? She was walking around with him all the time on the way to the place of prayer, remember? These are the men of the Most High God who preach unto you the way of salvation, etc., etc. That's what she said. She was saying that she was telling the truth. And the King James Bible says that Paul was sorely vexed in his spirit for many days. So he was in travail in his spirit. What's wrong with this girl? She's telling the truth, but there's a spirit behind this. So he waited so that he could discern the stronghold or the strong man. And once he discerned that, he just cast that spirit out and it loosed the whole city, in fact. Understand that Satan is a created being and like us, he is subject to the word of God. So it's the Word of God that's going to reveal what the strong man is. He's a created being. He's not everywhere present. He doesn't know everything. He has tried to convince people of that. And the Christians are the ones that have believed that. It's like William Hinn says, you know, he only realized there was a devil when he became a Christian. And then it was a big problem. Because everything was the devil's fault. Job chapter 1 verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? In English, where do you come from? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down on it. So he doesn't have this chariot that he can travel around with. He has to walk up and down. I mean, it's just not good, eh? Anyway. So he's a created being. Walks up and down, etc. Goes to and fro. Ezekiel 28:17. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. And therefore I will cast you to the ground, and I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. Alright. Who's the kings? We are the kings. That Satan is laid before us. And then we see, oh, that's all who he is. He is not omnipresent like God is. So don't give him that credit. Don't honor him by saying that. He is a defeated liar that tries to convince us that he is always around. And he is always using demonic spirits that are subject to him to spread his lies. It's all about lies. He tells lies. He spreads lies. He tries to deceive through lies, etc., etc. And we, remember, we're talking about the strong man. A strong man, it must be identified. So you've got to hear the spirit. Not what's going on in the spiritual realm from the other side. Because that's all lies. So I always say, you know, they cast out a demon of lust out of somebody. And where does it go? It goes somewhere else. And the next time you cast it out, then he's got another name. How do you know he's telling the truth? You don't know that. Liars. These are his objectives. Division. Now, I'm giving you these things so you can discern the fruit. We need to be led by the Spirit, but we can discern fruit. Division. He first destroys the family and then the church. So, you look at a family, you look at a household, and you see what goes on there. And his influence is through deception. His influence is through getting a hold on the darkness in the hearts of the people. His influence and control is through the iniquities. And as you've seen now, as we've been sitting with some of you, you've seen the control he's had through that iniquity. Because the iniquity blinds your eyes. He uses that to blind your eyes. And that's how he gets a hold on you. And guess what we do then? It's never my fault, because I can't see it. Proverbs 16 says, a man is right in his own eyes. No, I'm okay. It's you. But then we're doing exactly the same as what Adam did in the garden. No, it's this woman. It's this woman you gave me. These are his objectives. Division. He first destroys the family and then the church. Confusion. He plays mind games. Did God really say? Division, confusion. He first divides. Then confusion comes. Because now, wow, gee, is it this way or is it that way? Then double-mindedness comes. Double-mindedness means that commitment has been robbed from us. So we can't commit to, well, is this the will of God or is that the will of God? We're not sure now, because you see, it looks so like the real thing. We're not being led by the Spirit, and this is what starts happening. So you can discern a situation. If there's double-mindedness, then you know there's a strong man there. When there's double-mindedness, temptation comes easily. Because there's double-mindedness, and now there's another thing, and then can easily be tempted to go completely the wrong way. Temptation. Through familiar spirits, he tempts us in the flesh to go after that which is fleshly and carnal. So when he starts getting you into the fleshly realm, that's where he's master there. That's why we need to walk in the Spirit. That's why our minds need to be renewed. And once temptation has taken place, guess what? We fall into that thing and we find error. We find sin. He gets us off track by quoting scripture with a twist, and there we go. No, you know, God told me to do this and God told me to do that. And then we can see from the fruit whether it was God or not. Okay? And the end result of that is what? Death. Brings death. Death what? Well, physical death can happen because of that kind of thing. But there's death that manifests. There's lack. There's poverty. There's sickness. There's just no prosperity. There's no joy. Nothing. It's death. Okay? John 10:10. We all know the scripture, but I want to speak it out. John 10:10. The thief comes only in order to that he may steal and may kill and may destroy. See, he's a thief. Those of you that have maybe studied war a little bit, and maybe you've seen some movies on war, and based on the Second World War and those kind of things. How do you conquer the enemy? You bring division. If you can split some of the troops off from the main group of troops, if you can break the communication, then you kill them off, and then you do that again. You divide and conquer, divide and conquer. It's a strategy that is used. So you steal a little bit here, bring division, bring confusion, and so it goes. The thief comes only in order that he may steal and may kill and may destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, to the full, until it overflows. So if you're not overflowing in your life, then you are deceived. There's a stronghold in your life. You have got a mindset that is focused on that which is carnal and fleshly. And there's been division, confusion, double-mindedness, and so forth in your life. And the result is death. There's no life. There's no fruit. There's no blessing in it. You're not a blessing. You are not blessed, etc. Doesn't mean you're demon-possessed. You've just listened to a lie. That's all. And we all, in the process of becoming Christ-like, as we become Christ-like, the light of God is exposing in our hearts the area where we have believed a lie. And it's sometimes not nice, because sometimes we discover that we've been walking with something for years and years and years. And it's embarrassing. And we can't believe, wow, you know, I can't believe I've actually fallen for that. The big key to identifying the strong man. The essence of God's kingdom, both in the heavenlies and in individuals, is the Holy Trinity. Okay? We all know that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And let's have a look at Colossians chapter 2. That's something we all know. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you don't know that yet, then we need to get you born again. And deal with you. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in Him, Christ, the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in Him, made full and have come to fullness of life in Christ. You too are filled with the Godhead. Hello? How's that? In Christ, you are also filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And reach full spiritual stature. And He is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality and power. Okay. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. What the enemy tries to do, he tries to dethrone the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in your life through what I term the unholy Trinity. The essence of the demonic kingdom, both in the heavenlies and in individuals, is an unholy trinity. See, I got, over the years, you know, I read a whole lot of books and stuff, and some of those things got me so bent out of shape. I mean, I was chasing demons around every corner and from myself and from everything and every doorknob and stuff. It just caused confusion. And when there's confusion, it can't be God. The kingdom of God, you know, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, and there's no confusion. God is not a God of confusion. It should be easy to understand and easy to overcome. And so God gave me an answer. Very simple. You can use this and you can discern any situation. And if there's demonic activity in a person's life, you can use this to measure it up against. And I'm not saying, you know, now start measuring every person, demons and all that. It has to do with iniquity more than anything else. It's darkness in the person's life. Yes, it could have come there through demonic influence. But the moment you expose that sin and there's confession and the blood washes it, it's clean. It's gone. That thing loses its hold. The unholy trinity is a counterfeit of the holy trinity and operates in opposite counterfeit power. I mean, I don't want to use the word power, but for want of a better word. Please note that Satan is not a triune being like God and resorts to counterfeit tactics to mimic God. So he's not a triune God. He's not Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He employs different spirits. Okay, so he's counterfeiting that thing. He's counterfeiting the Holy Trinity. He's not like God. He cannot be like God. He isn't God. He's a created being. So he cannot be like God. But it's because of that deception that we start thinking, oh, this is maybe God talking to me. You see, because it senses like that in the spirit. At the top, if you want to have a triangle with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? The top of the unholy Trinity, you have the spirit of Antichrist. Then you have the spirit of death and hell. And you have the spirit of Jezebel. The Antichrist spirit is the opposite of Father God. Spirit of death and hell is the opposite of Jesus, because Jesus overcame what? Death and hell. And the Holy Spirit, the opposite. Well, they're not opposites, but they try to operate like what they represent in the Holy Trinity, is the spirit of Jezebel and the Holy Spirit. So you'll find the spirit of Jezebel can imitate a whole lot of stuff. The gifts, the whole thing. The one thing the spirit of Jezebel cannot truly manifest is love. Cannot. And that's how you discern. The spirit of Antichrist is the counterfeit of Father God and pollutes and destroys all godly authority. So if you see there's rebellion and no godly authority or disrespect for godly authority in a person's life, it's because there was no godly authority through a male figure representing God in that person's life. And so the spirit of Antichrist has come in, undermines authority. Because it's against authority. God represents authority. So it's anti-Christ. The spirit of death and hell is the opponent. Please be careful with these words, you know, just for to be able to explain them to you. Because he's not the opponent of Jesus. Jesus has defeated these guys. Okay? The spirit of death and hell. Okay, let's put it this way. The spirit of death and hell tries to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? This spirit releases death and hell against the life and salvation that Jesus provides. I've come to give life and life more abundantly, as we've just read. So that spirit tries to release death and hell against the life and salvation that Jesus provides. Salvation saves us from hell. Death comes from sickness, disease, all those kind of things. And Jesus came to heal us and set us free and provide for us. And then the spirit of Jezebel tries to oppose the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit, as we know, influences us. As we yield to Him, He influences us. And He speaks in our hearts, soft, gentle voice. And so we go. Now you could say He's manipulating us. You could say that. But He's a gentleman. He does not manipulate. He does not force. Okay? But he's a gentle influence. And he will really try and put pressure on us if he sees that we're going wrong. But he will not force you. If you decide, he will leave you alone. Whereas the spirit of Jezebel manipulates, controls, and brings destruction. The Holy Spirit leads, guides, and teaches. Jezebel manipulates, controls, and destroys. So, pretty simple. That's all. That's the only three things you need to look at. Look at the fruits. Then you know which spirit is dominant and which one is operating. Or which one has had an influence in a person's life. So, we can look at the drug culture today. They're all on ecstasy, etc. They go to these clubs and rave clubs and all that. What's the main thing that happens there? No. But what's the main fruit? What they against? Yes, they love one another. But their main thing is rebellion. It's rebellion. But how did they get there? They were manipulated to get there through manipulation and control. So, every Antichrist spirit will have his Jezebel spirit. So you'll find, I don't know if you remember that series years ago, it shows my age a bit, Dallas. And Larry Hagman was J.R. Ewing. He manifested that spirit of Antichrist. And he surrounded himself with weaker people who could manipulate and control, especially women. So they had the spirit of Jezebel upon them. So he would use them to manipulate situations and people around him to build his own kingdom. Because that's what God is building his own kingdom. Antichrist is also building his own kingdom. You see, you can correlate them like that. So Larry Hagman, or JR in the story, he surrounded himself with Jezebel people who could manipulate and control. And all he then said, because he had a stronghold on those people. On those people that he controlled. And he would use the Jezebels to bring people in. He wouldn't really do it himself. And what would be the result of all of that? Death and hell, destruction, etc. So that spirit would automatically come in. You can look at any situation like that. You can look at any false religion. Look at what's going on in the world. What spirit is driving a lot of the false religions and stuff that's going on in the world? Spirit of Antichrist, because it's rebellion. It's a rebellion against the authority of God. So what does it do? It manipulates and controls through what? Fear. I mean, look at the terrorism and stuff. What does that do? And the result of it is what? Death. You can measure any situation like that. When the church, through Christ-likeness, binds this evil trio of strong men, because they're the strong men. And that's what we need to discern. When we bind that evil trio of strong men in the heavenlies, the demonic kingdom is then wide open to be plundered. So, you become Christ-like. You establish the control and the authority and the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit within you. The Godhead bodily dwelling within you, and you're walking in it, and you're walking in Him, and you're manifesting it. Then you come into the presence of this unholy Trinity. One of the three will show up. You deal with the strongest one, and the other two will just be loosed. You can deal with any situation like that. And we do it through Christ-likeness. God's people, families, churches, cities, nations will only be partially delivered until this unholy Trinity is broken and destroyed. Look in our own nation. What spirit is operating in the authorities? Who wants to? Yes. Why? Because they've excluded God. Yeah, they've excluded God out of the Constitution. God is not acknowledged, right? What is that? That is rebellion. Godly principles, no, we don't believe in that anymore. Ungodly things are allowed in this country. It's rebellion against God. And so what do they do then if you say, but I don't want to do that? Through manipulation and control, they try to make it good. You just have to look at the media, what is starting to come through. certain things that we know according to the Word of God that's wrong. That's just plain evil. They're making it good. Abortion, etc. You sit an hour on TV and you see all of that stuff. And so what are they trying to do? They're trying to manipulate you. That is why the arts and the media, acting, music and all of that, the people there, most of them, are depraved. There's homosexuality or any kind of perversion that you want. Drugs, everything goes in that. Because Jezebel is operating there. And because those media are used for manipulation and control. Of course it can be used for good. And that's why we need Lindy to learn to play the violin. Because we are taking back. All right? And so through those media, like the TV and through the movies and so on, Jezebel comes and preaches the doctrine of the Antichrist spirit. And so what does it bring into our lives? Death and hell. It brings hell into households. Teenage boys and girls and stuff are completely messed up because of what they see on TV. And what do? The cycle just repeats. So guess what? Rebellion. Spirit of Antichrist. Manipulation, control, because now rejection comes in, because I'm not part of this anymore. So the Jezebel spirit comes, oh, you rejected. Well, we'll show you play love. Cannot give you true love, but it'll give a feeling of love and through all sorts of things. And it'll draw you in, and guess what? The cycle just repeats itself. Classic pointers for easy identification. Spirit of Jezebel is a power or a strong man over an area. You can't cast out Jezebel out of a person. It's a way of thinking. It's the attitude of the person that lends itself to the influence of that spirit. But it's a stronghold over an area. It doesn't live in a person. If a demon says, I'm Jezebel, then he's lying. And I've heard of that. I think somebody told us recently, no, the Jezebel spirit was cast out of me. So I thought, yeah. If it was that small, then we wouldn't have the problem on a global scale. It's a stronghold over an area. And it's also a world ruler. We know that. It's obvious it's a world ruler. Its influence is worldwide, and it has charge of demonic kingdoms over nations as well as individuals. Revelation chapter 2. And remember, through all of this, your focus is Christ. This is for your information. Revelation chapter 2 verse 18. And to the angel or the messenger of the assembly or the church in Thyatira write this. These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire and whose feet glow bright and burnished and white hot bronze. I know your record and what you are doing, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your recent works are more numerous and greater than your first ones. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Tolerate. Who calls herself a prophetess. It can prophesy, but there's no love to it. Claiming to be inspired. And who is teaching and leading astray my servants and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. What does that mean? Is unholy covenants and stuff. Okay? And trying to work, do things by works. They seem to be spiritual works, but I gave her time to repent. So don't just condemn a person that is under that influence. They can repent. But she has no desire to repent out of her immorality, symbolic of idolatry, and refuses to do so. So guess what that is? Rebellion. So you always see there's a rebellious streak there. But the grace of God, people, can overcome that, can bring restoration. Take note, I will throw her on a bed of anguish. And those her paramours who commit adultery with her, I will bring down to pressing distress and severe affliction, unless they turn away their minds, turn away their minds. See, it's the mind that gets influenced from conduct such as hers and repent of their doings. And I will strike her children, her followers dead. You see, the Jezebel spirit has demons that follow her around. So, if you minister to a person that is that is a drug addict, what do you address? No. Jezebel. Because otherwise, she will call her children back. That's why you see sometimes people get set free from drugs and 2 years down the line, they're back in it. Why? Because the spirit of addiction was dealt with, but the spirit of Jezebel's influence, who has a root in a person's heart, the iniquity, was not dealt with. And I will strike her children, her proper followers dead, thoroughly exterminating them, and all the assemblies, the churches shall recognize and understand that I am he who searches the minds, the thoughts, the feelings and purpose, and the innermost hearts. See? It's a thing of the heart. You grow up in a certain way, you get hurt in a certain way, and then you have to manipulate and control to be somebody in life, and that spirit will accommodate you. And the innermost hearts, and I will give to each of you the reward for what you have done as your work deserves. But to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they say, you see? You mess around with Jezebel, you are operating in the depths of Satan. And I tell you that I do not lay upon you any other fresh burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. Okay. There's a lot for you to go and read there. Anyway, that spirit calls herself a prophetess is actually a demon of religion. Will prophesy stuff, but there's no fruit to that. Teaches and beguiles God's servants through manipulation and witchcraft. And you can probably see in your own life, some of you come from a certain congregation. That's the spirit that operated there. Teaches immorality, spirits of sexual lust and perversion. Spirit of Jezebel will use any sexual perversion to get what it wants. That includes homosexuality. That's why that spirit, those kind of people, they manipulate it, usually. Jezebel teaches them to eat food sacrificed to idols. Promotes likeness towards sin. No, man, you've just got a slight problem, eh? Nah, it's just okay. Don't worry about it. That's not so serious. It portrays the father as emotional and effeminate. Like a big sugar daddy. Ach, no, he's okay with this. Now he understands your feelings. He just loves you. He'll dote over you. Yes, he does, but not in the way that we think. Promotes lightness towards sin, portrays the Heavenly Father as emotional and effeminate rather than rational, masculine. See? That's why there's an attack against the man. You watch TV, you watch the comedies, I'm telling you, they always emasculate the man. He's this weakling. This is what this is about. That is Jezebel. Rather than a rational, masculine, and setting standards person, this is a standard. If you can't meet it, well, that's just how it is. And a person who applies discipline. That is God. Guess what we have in our country? Don't hit children. No discipline. Simply because a few people are abusers. Now the rest of us can't do that. Bible clearly says that we have to. It drives iniquity from the heart of a child. That's what that verse says. Stripes will drive iniquity from the heart of a child. It teaches no fear of punishment. In other words, there's no, ach, I can just do this. I can kill 14 people for their cell phones. I'll be out in 14 days anyway because there's no space for me. It's true. It's happening. You don't pay your TV license in this country. How much do they fine you? $1,500. But you pay 500 rands bail if you've shot somebody and you're out. Is something wrong here? It teaches the deep things of Satan, like the occult and all of those kind of things. Okay, men that are influenced by this spirit delegate their authority of prophet, priest, and king to their wives. They want to be mothered. A according to Isaiah 47 and Isaiah chapter 3, the spirit of Jezebel causes senility and old age. You can find normally a person that in the old age is senile. You look into the young life, they would manipulate and control. So it affects your mind. Spirit of Jezebel causes senility in old age, drug abuse, occult and witchcraft, sexual sins, fear and terror. I can't do this, I'm scared of that. No, I can't do that, I'm scared of that. Causes sickness. Causes homosexuality, which is another word for homosexuality, is the living death. And today, it's very much so. It causes divorce. The spirit of death then accompanies that. Spirit of death comes upon the children and that family. It causes double-mindedness, doubt, instability, even schizophrenia. Causes inner torment, questioning. Oh, well, is this, you know, is this really, is God real, you know? Is this, you know, all sorts of irrational stuff. Challenges firm decisions that are made. Somebody comes and says, well, this is what we are going to do from today on. And then afterwards, well, you know, do you really think that we should be doing that? You know, challenges the authority. False personalities, in other words, masks. You know, person that we meet, you know, every day, oh, it's this nice, bright person, but in fact, they are manipulating and controlling by putting on a false front. The antidote against the spirit of Jezebel. Our battle cry against the spirit is, our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12 verse 29. Our God is a consuming fire. Fire of God comes and purges and cleanses and purifies. And Isaiah 47 verse 14 says this. Isaiah 47 verse 14 states the following. Behold, they are like stubble. The fire consumes them. They cannot even deliver themselves from the power of the flame, much less deliver the nations. This is no coal for warming or fire before which to sit. This one consumes. Okay. The prophetic call for righteousness and holiness. We need to call for righteousness and holiness. We need to declare it. We need to demand it. That is how we go against this thing. We need to be full of the fire of God. We need to be baptized with the fire of God. First of all, we need to prophetically call for righteousness and holiness. We need not just shut up and, okay, you know, just let it happen. We must be anointed in the proclamation of sin, righteousness, and judgment. All right? That's what the Spirit of God does. He convicts us of what? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. And we must have the reality of that within us. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. We need to be able to bring the kingdom of God. We need to be able to walk in the light because we realize that judgment falls and people are destroyed. Death and hell will have a field day if we don't bring life into that situation. If we don't bring salvation and life into it, into the lives of people. It is time for anointed fatherhood. And I believe this is why God is restoring fathers in the body. Remember the scripture says, you have not many fathers. You have many teachers, but you have not many fathers. Because when there's not enough fathers, this spirit proliferates in the mindsets of people. And God is raising up a standard against that. It's time for anointed fatherhood to turn the father-child relationships the right way around, as we know from Malachi 4. Verse 5 and 6. To turn the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Remember Malachi chapter 4, 5 and 6 says that the hearts of the fathers will be turned to the sons and the hearts of the sons to the fathers. But Luke 1, 17 quotes that scripture differently. It says it will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons, but the hearts of the rebellious and disobedient to the fathers. So where do you think that rebellious and disobedient come from? It's those that have been influenced by the Spirit. So this is how it works. So godly authority. fathers need to be a reflection of the Father in heaven who establishes discipline and all of those things which we've discussed. I specifically didn't deal with the spirit of Antichrist first because our battle at this point in time, because this is a dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So Satan opposes the Holy Spirit with the spirit of Jezebel. So that's why I did that first. That is where you will find most of your warfare. Next time I'll speak about the spirit of Antichrist and then the spirit of death and hell. Father, we worship you. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, we exalt you. Yes. Heavenly Father, you are our Father.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you that you exercise your authority over our lives like a loving Heavenly Father. That you discipline us through your word. That you lead and guide us by your Spirit. That you give us life and salvation through your Son. And so, Father, as we have learned tonight, we thank you, Lord, that you impart this to us by your Spirit and in the Spirit of the Kingdom of God. Not to pursue these things, but to pursue you and to pursue Christ and to manifest the Kingdom of God. We thank you that our discernment is accurate and not focused on the Kingdom of Darkness, but on the Kingdom of Light and upon you. And as we go forth, we thank you that the reality of this is lived out in a lifestyle filled with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name.